From what some of you have been saying, I'm not the only one who has been looking forward in this sermon series to reaching Peniel. Because here we have the most striking and amazing reference in the Bible to wrestling. Human beings have been engaging in wrestling and wrestling matches in various forms all around the world and for thousands of years. They have been a part of the Olympic Games even from the ancient times and in the modern version with which we're more familiar. And yet this wrestling match is much more profound and mysterious than any wrestling match ever anywhere in the world. And what was this wrestling match at Peniel for Jacob, considering it spiritually? It was not his first conversion, because Jacob was not an unbeliever before this incident. Last week we looked at his prayer in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12, for instance. I've been stressing that despite his sins and weaknesses, the godly patriarch was spiritually minded. He was passionately interested in the birthright and the blessing, which was good, though he went about obtaining them the wrong way. And I have argued that he was regenerate even in Rebekah's womb, like John the Baptist within Elizabeth, because even then he wanted the birthright and the blessing, and he was grabbing his brother's heel to get out first. Peniel wasn't his first conversion, and it wasn't either the site of his second blessing, for the simple reason that the second blessing is a false doctrine of sanctification. God, in his elect, sanctifies us definitively by infusing his Spirit within us and breaking the dominion of sin over us and giving us new life at our regeneration. And then ensues a lifelong progressive sanctification whereby we put to death the old man and grow in grace. The wrestling match at Peniel, spiritually, wasn't his first conversion, and it wasn't his second blessing, but it was a turning point in the life of Jacob. And so in that sense, it was a striking instance of ongoing conversion, turning from sin and turning to the Lord more and more. It was an important event, not of a second blessing, but of a progressive sanctification, whereby, as it were, there was a growth spurt. And so Jacob, through this turning point at Peniel, was never quite the same again. Although I have to temper it, because the old weaknesses were still there, yet he no longer trusted in his own wisdom to receive the blessing as he once did, or at least to the same extent. Let's look then at Jacob's wrestling match, asking and answering these three simple questions. With whom did he wrestle? What was this wrestling? And for what was he wrestling? Jacob's wrestling match. With whom, what, and for what? So who was Jacob's wrestling opponent? The first answer to that question is a man. Verse 24 says, Jacob was left alone and there wrestled a man with him. until the breaking of the day. Second, Jacob's opponent was God. We know that because of the mighty touch, just a tap or a touch on Jacob's thigh, and his joint was, and his thigh was put out of joint. Now there's an incredibly strong bond with your thigh in its place, possibly more so than with any human joint in the body. It takes some blow to put someone's joint, someone's thigh out of joint, but this one, being God, just touches it and he's out of joint. And then too, we should think of the blessing, the messianic blessing. Jacob asks this one with whom he is wrestling for a blessing. Verse 26, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he receives it at the end of verse 29, and he, Jacob's wrestler, blessed him there. Who alone can touch a thigh and put it out of joint, and who alone can bless the patriarch, not as a, some sort of merely human intercessor, but God. And the word God is also used of Jacob's opponent or combatant in Genesis 32. Verse 28, as a prince hast thou power with God. Verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and the E-L bits means God, for I have seen not merely a man, but God face to face, and my life is preserved. Because ordinarily, if you see God, that would be death for you. And Hosea 12, the prophet says, by his strength, Jacob had power with God. This one was man and God, and he is also called in the scriptures, and thirdly, an angel. Hosea alone mentions this as the Holy Spirit resting upon him gave him this insight into this incident. Hosea 12 verse 4 states, yea, Jacob had power over the angel and prevailed. And so the next question is, well, how do you put this together? Because ordinarily, man is one thing, God is something else, and an angel is something else. We have here three sorts of being. But this opponent of Jacob is said to be a man and God and an angel. But we know of only one person who is both God and man, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. This event took place in the Old Testament, many hundreds of years before Christ's incarnation. And so this is one of our Lord's pre-incarnation appearances, where temporarily he appeared in the form of a man. Joshua 5 is another example. And such passages help to prepare the church for God the Son's permanent assumption of a human nature through the Virgin Mary. So then, how is this one called also an angel in Hosea 12 verse 4? Well, the word rendered angel means two different things in the Bible. It can first of all refer to a created angel, which is what you would think of in the first instance. And secondly, that word angel, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, refers to anyone who is sent. You could call, using the same Hebrew or Greek word, your son who brings you a cup of coffee, he is a sent one. You've asked him to do it, in that sense, an angel. But Jesus Christ, as God and man, is the greatest one who was ever sent by the triune God. He is the angel, with a capital A if you like, the angel of the Lord, the sent one of the Lord, in the Old Testament, mentioned in various places, including elsewhere in the book of Genesis, as in Genesis 22 and Genesis 48. Now, it's very important to get straight Jacob's opponent in this wrestling match, because the Bible talks of believers wrestling various different parties. Sometimes Scripture talks about a Christian wrestling with other people, the ungodly. Jacob wrestled with Esau in his mother's womb. Both before, that was the struggling that Rebekah experienced within her, and at their births, according to Genesis 25 and Hosea 12, verse 3. So a believer sometimes wrestles with an unbeliever. The Bible also speaks of the believers wrestling with the old man. That's the fight between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5:17. And this is an internal struggle. The Word of God also tells us of our struggle with Satan and his demons. Even uses the word wrestle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as if that merely was the highest opponent we have, but against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 12. And now in our text, Jacob wrestles not merely with the old man within him, not merely with ungodly people around him, like Esau, and not merely with Satan and his demons above him. In our text, Jacob wrestles with God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And this is the amazing thing about this wrestling match. What about this for an advertising poster? All night wrestling match. God in Christ versus Jacob the patriarch. Except, this wrestling match wasn't designed merely for entertainment, never mind gambling. And this match wasn't advertised, and in fact, there were no human spectators there at all. And even Jacob, one of the contestants, didn't even know it was coming. And yet, the eyes of the church have been upon this wrestling match for many, many centuries. And though not designed for entertainment in a worldly sense, it certainly is engrossing and fascinating. And now we need to stress that this was a literal, physical, bodily wrestling match. This is not a dream, like the dream that Jacob had of that ladder between heaven and earth, with God at the top and the angels ascending and descending. The dream at Bethel in Genesis 28. Jacob here is wide awake. This is not a vision, something he saw in front of him. He is involved in this. And let me demonstrate this point to you by mentioning just two points from the narrative in Genesis 32. Verse 24, as I mentioned earlier, says, "There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." A man with a real physical human body for wrestling, with hands and arms and a torso and legs and feet all needed for wrestling. And since this was a man involved in a literal, physical, bodily wrestling match with Jacob, and not merely a dream or a vision, we can understand this touching of Jacob's thigh. Verse 25. "He touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Verse 31, likewise, is literal. "Jacob halted or limped upon his thigh." It wasn't just a dream that he'd had or a vision. His body has been maimed through a physical wrestling match. And so verse 32 adds, "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank," which is upon the hollow of the thigh, "unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Genesis 28 makes it very clear we're dealing with a literal, physical, bodily wrestling match. And the same point is made in a different way in the comment of the prophet Hosea upon this passage in chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Quote, "He, Jacob, took his brother by the heel in the womb." That was literal. Little hand reached out to grab the little heel. Physically, bodily, "he took his brother by the heel in the womb," Genesis 25, "and," the text continues, referring to Genesis 32, our passage, "by his strength he had power with God, yea, he had power with the angel, and prevailed." And the point is that the wrestling match between Jacob and Esau, that was literal, and the wrestling match between Jacob and God, the one whom God sent, likewise, was bodily and physical. But there's more to it than that. Though there was a literal, physical, bodily wrestling match at Peniel, it was more than this. And the first argument for this point is, just consider Jacob's combatant. He's not only a man, he is also God. God did not, in the second person, temporarily assume a human body just for some male wrestling competition with Jacob. The second point's even clearer. The Bible tells us the nature of this wrestling, again, in Hosea 12, verses 3 and 4. And here you've got to marvel at the wonder of the Holy Spirit, because but for Hosea chapter 12 and its comments on this passage, it would be an awful lot harder to make sense of what's going on. And the perspicuity of the scripture here involves that God tells the church by these key verses in the prophets what's happening. Hosea 12 says, "By his strength Jacob had power with God, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him." Now imagine there are some tears in the odd wrestling match if a guy's awfully hurt and he cries out in pain. I suppose such things do happen. You could even say made supplication unto him. I give in, let go. But that's not what it's talking about here when it deals here with weeping and supplication, it is telling us that the nature of the wrestling match spiritually is earnest, heartfelt prayer involving weeping and supplication. And so this literal, physical, bodily wrestling match between Jacob and God points to prayer as a wrestling match. And this is in keeping with the nature of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament especially uses earthly, physical things, as it were, to capture our imaginations, to convey important spiritual truths. The question which flows from this is, so God used this wrestling match to speak of the struggle of prayer with him. Well, how then is earnest prayer like a wrestling match? Well, both are single combat. Wrestling, ordinarily, is one-on-one. We're not here dealing with a tag team or some sort of a rumble. And even then, with a tag team and a rumble, you still get down, most of the time, to one-on-one. This is single combat. And in prayer, especially the sort of prayer we're dealing with here, typically it is one-on-one. We're not now talking about corporate prayer whereby one person leads others to the throne of grace in Jesus Christ. In prayer, typically, and in its simplest form, there's just you and God. Just those two parties. You're alone with God as Jacob was in this passage. Wrestling and prayer are typically matters of single combat. You're on your own. Your wife isn't with you. Your husband isn't with you. Your children aren't helping you, or your parents, or your friends. Just you and God. Wrestling and prayer are both close combat. Now, in the 21st century, you can fight with your opponent at all sorts of ranges. You can launch a missile with a button from a base hundreds of miles from your target. Thousands of miles from your target. Intercontinental ballistic missiles. You can drop a bomb from a plane many thousands of feet above your target. You don't see anyone whom you have killed. With a machine gun, you can mow people down from tens of yards or hundreds of yards or even further. With a sword, you're getting closer, but when you wrestle with someone, that is the closest form of fighting. You come to grips with your opponent hand to hand, and you can see them. They hunch over and they've got their fingers out and they're looking for that hold. Then the arms get locked, and sometimes the legs get intertwined. And one party at times is on top of the other one, then there's a little twist, and then the other one's on top of them. And it is the closest of contact sports. In boxing, as with the sword or fencing, you keep your opponent at arm's length, and then you dive in, and then you're back out again. There's a little bit of that with wrestling when you're getting to grips, but then when you get to grips with the person, you are incredibly close. You're grappling skin on skin with your opponent. And if you watch a wrestling match at times, you sometimes see an arm or a leg, and it's not even too clear whose it is. And then they're moving fast too. And this is deliberate. Wrestling fits with prayer not only because it's single combat, but because it is incredibly close combat. Prayer is a spiritual wrestling for the Christian. And then you say, well, but God's invisible. How do you wrestle an invisible opponent? But God is bodiless. God is intangible. You can't grip God. How can you grapple with Him and get close to Him? You can by His Word and through faith. You get to grips with God by grasping the bond of the covenant. You lay hold of God by laying hold of His promises, and even, in the right sense, using them against Him, as it were. Even as with wrestling, you often use the weight and strength of your opponent against him. He comes on a lunge at you, you could block it, but it may well be better to carry him on with that, turn him over. You lay hold on God by laying hold on His promises. He has given you, as it were, part of your weaponry. This single close combat of wrestling is also, like prayer, an energetic combat. Now, if you're wrestling, you will expect to expend more energy than a man who is fighting in a tank, or from a soldier who is firing from a machine gun nest, or even in an arm wrestling contest. Because when you are wrestling, your whole body is involved. Your body is against the whole body of your opponent. You're grappling and twisting and throwing and locking and pinning him. And if you had a third hand or a third leg, you'd be gladly using it, because it's such an intense struggle and you're wanting to get the advantage, the shade, just that little bit more strength to get him down or get him off you. And so the intense struggle of wrestling makes it an especially sweaty form of fighting and exhausting, especially if it goes on for some time. The point here, beloved, is that prayer, not now so much maybe even a congregational prayer or a prayer at a meal times, but those intense prayers are like wrestling. Now, we say many things about prayer, because the Bible says many things about prayer, that it is fellowship with God. When you hear that, you think, that's what I need, more of that, that's lovely. You hear about prayer as something blessed, and that appeals to us too. But to fill out the picture from a passage like Genesis 32, prayer is also hard work. It's like wrestling, which is precisely why we sinfully avoid it at various times. When faced between prayer and maybe reading the Bible, or prayer and going to do something else, our sinful inclination, because of the old man, is often to pick the easiest thing. And if you operate in your life with picking the easiest thing, then you will draw back from prayer, especially the most difficult forms of prayer. The struggling and grappling with the Lord by faith. Hosea 12 verse 4 talks about the supplication, the making petitions before God and pressing them home, wrestling sort of prayer. Possibly the most famous example of wrestling and prayer beyond this passage took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, I know part of the struggle was that Christ is there bearing the punishment due to His church for our sins. But the passage makes it clear that He's praying to God there too. Great drops of sweat, as it were, of blood fall from Him. There's agony involved. praying earnestly, not my will, but thy will be done. And Hosea 12 verse 4 says that Jacob even wept. And the weeping that occurs in prayer, and now especially this prayer, is Jacob's weeping over his sins. Repentance. God is wrestling with him, and he is struggling as he confesses his sin here of grasping the birthright through that bowl of soup and cheating and tricking his brother. The sin of telling lies and impersonating Esau in Genesis 27 to obtain the blessing. The sin of bigamy with two women and then their two concubines on top of that. The sin of his cattle breeding, whereby he designed to get more and the better sort of the ovines of Laban. The sin of stealing away in Genesis 31, when he should have been open to Laban about what he was doing, trusting in the Lord. The sin of the three drones, the three droves. If I send this livestock to Esau, maybe that will appease him and he won't come and kill me. Instead of trusting in the Lord, he's weeping. Tears of repentance. And in our prayers, especially as we grapple with the Lord and wrestle with him, we're maybe coming into the prayer thinking we need X, Y, and Z. And as we pray, we see our sins. That isn't something unusual or abnormal. That isn't something going wrong. That's something going right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because as you get closer to God, he shows you your sin and you see it's evil and you confess it before him and you forsake it, asking for grace and mercy and pardon in Jesus Christ. And that's a struggle, a wrestling match for us, because we're sinners. And naturally we don't do that. It takes us down on our knees and praying before we recognize that something we've been covering up is actually wicked and we need to get rid of it. Single combat. Close combat, energetic combat, prayer as wrestling. And this is a combat, too, that requires great concentration. You see, wrestling is not only very physical, but it also has a mental aspect. You have to concentrate. One lapse of concentration and you're thrown, or you're pinned to the ground and you're finished. You're lost. And prayer, likewise, requires concentration and determination. Because we all know how easy it is. You're praying to the Lord and then you realize you just spent the last 2 minutes thinking about your shopping and your grandchildren and how you need to visit so-and-so. And you think to yourself, that's deplorable. How did I get there? I'm supposed to be praying. Prayer requires concentration like a wrestling match. Not in the sense that one lapse and you're defeated, because God is gracious and forgives our sins, even the sins of our prayers. But in the sense that you need to be spiritually determined by the grace of God. Otherwise, you don't really come to grips with the Lord. Or you will soon give up. So I say again that wrestling is a very good picture of prayer, intense prayer. Single, close combat that's energetic and requires concentration. And that concentration is another reason why our flesh doesn't like it. Like schoolboys that don't want to do their homework because they have to think. We draw back from prayer because we have to concentrate. Because we're not only lazy with our bodies, but we're lazy with our minds. That's what sin does to human beings. And we should note here some other factors about Jacob's wrestling with God that emphasize important aspects of strenuous prayer. First, that it's private. Jacob, in Genesis 32, verse 22, rises up that night. He takes his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and his two women servants, Bilhah and Zilpah, and his 11 sons, Benjamin isn't born yet, and passed over the ford Jabbok. Now, Jabbok is on the other side of the River Jordan, and it's about halfway between the Sea of Galilee in the north and the Dead Sea in the south. So he takes the four women, the 11 sons, presumably his daughters too, he takes them and sends them over the brook and sends over that which he had. And then he, Jacob, is left alone, presumably back on the north side. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And for us, the best place of especially earnest wrestlings of prayer is on your own. And the Christian, therefore, needs to make time and even space for this. You go and be on your own when you wrestle with God. And then there's another interesting aspect about this wrestling match is this, that God started it. Jacob wants to be on his own, and he packs away his family. You go across there, I want to be on my own. I want to think. I want to pray. And then unexpectedly, even when he's planning to pray, God seizes upon him. Verse 24 says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. God took the initiative, indicating that it's all of grace, and just jumped on him. What a shock. Jacob was going to pray. He probably thought it was going to be a more earnest wrestling with God in prayer than usual. And then he was hit with God with a sudden attack. And God does that too with us as his people. We go to be alone, we go to pray, we expect the sort of normal time of prayer and the normal intensity of prayer, whatever normal is. And then the Spirit comes upon us. God meets with us. And it's more like a wrestling match. Praying alone, wrestling alone. God started it. And this wrestling match was in the dark. Jacob wrestled in the dark, physically. The sun had set. And he's wrestling in the dark spiritually because this is a dark time. His soul has been frightened by the thought of Esau and these 400 men coming to massacre him and his wives and his children and destroying everything. And the earnest prayers that God puts into our souls so that we wrestle with him typically come when things look dark for us. Then you're more than ordinarily stirred up. Then you realize you need help from the Almighty. When you're being tried, when you have some unusual temptation or difficulty to face, or when you're plain scared. And this wrestling match, when Jacob was alone, and when God started it, in the dark, was lengthy. This man is wrestling for hours. We don't know how many hours. Because it was night, they set up camp, then he moved them on. How much of the night time was left? And how long was night time at that time of the year? But it certainly was hours. It's in the dark, and he's wrestling till the break of dawn. He didn't get any sleep that night. And though there are all sorts of lengths in the prayers of Christians, from very short prayers, ejaculatory prayers, prayers at mealtimes, longer prayers, the Christian ought to think to himself that my prayers in general should be longer. as well as being more intense. And I should persevere in my prayers, like Jacob. And who is Jacob? He's Israel. He's the church. He's every one of us in that body of Christ. A long wrestling match. That must have been some match. Ordinarily, a wrestling match just lasts minutes. You can't really cope with much longer because every nerve in your body is straining. And Jacob was at it half the night, if not more. For what was he wrestling? For what was he praying? In one word, the answer is the blessing. Verse 26. Let me go, says the angel, the man, God, the one who is God and man who is sent, Christ in a temporary bodily form. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. That's what he's wrestling for. He wants the blessing. Obtaining the blessing is victory in this wrestling match. And if you ask, what's the blessing? Well, the answer is, as it always is with the patriarchs in Genesis, the blessing of land. I will give you this land. The blessing of seed, an innumerable seed, like the stars of heaven or the dust of the earth or the sand of the seashore. And this blessing in the land and seed comes through the coming Messiah who brings the new heavens and the new earth and gathers the Catholic Church of all ages for that land and brings with him the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the cross and peace with God. And this blessing, as explained patriarchally, is especially here the blessing in the light of Esau and his 400 men who's going to slaughter or capture the animals, kill his children and his wives and Jacob, so that the promise of the covenant cannot be fulfilled. No Messiah. You could say that Jacob's prayer for the blessing is a more intense form of the prayer that he made in verses 9 through 12 of this same chapter. God of my father Abraham and Isaac, the one who said to me, return to my country and family and I'll deal well with thee. Now I pray to thee, to paraphrase verse 11, to deliver me from the hand of my brother Esau. He's going to kill me and my wives and children. And yet, Lord, thou art the God who said, I'm going to do you good. I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea, which can't be numbered for multitude. That's the blessing that Jacob is wrestling for. I won't let you go until you bless me. And that is the blessing that Jacob got. He won the wrestling match in this sense because he got what he was after. Verse 29 concludes, he blessed Jacob there. And he got it. He got it by wrestling in prayer. He got it by persevering in his wrestling in prayer. And he got it by clinging to God. Just hanging on to God at the end of the day. His hip is now out of joint. And with that as the most powerful point of leverage in the body, you can't win the blessing. You can't win the match. And so all he can do, he can't pin it, is he just grabs a hold of him. Just hangs on for dear life. That's why the angel says to him, verse 26, let me go. I will not let you go. I'm hanging on, I'm clinging to you, and I'm not going to release, and I won't release you until you bless me. And the point of God's doing this, God's disabling him, as it were, is he's teaching him in this wrestling match your weakness. I, by my Spirit, have equipped you, enabled you to pray and wrestle with me. Now, just touch your thigh. You can't wrestle at all. You're weak. Jacob, you're weak. All of your planning to get the blessing and the birthright, that was all weakness. You thought it was strong. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You thought you'd weak, you'd strong weapons. They're all weak. Weak, fleshly, carnal. Because you're weak. Your strength is just clinging to me. And we'll say more about that this evening, Lord willing. And for the child of God, we receive the blessing consciously, more richly and deeply, by prayer as wrestling. And this involves weeping. Weeping over our sins. You don't necessarily have to shed physical, watery tears, but weep over your sins in your heart at the very least. And it involves clinging to the Lord. Faith, there's the promise. I hang on. I'm not going to give up. I'll persevere. And I realize too that I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And Jacob won this wrestling match when he was weak in himself. And we receive through our wrestling, though it's many miles and centuries later, the same blessing that Jacob got. The only blessing, the blessing of the covenant, the blessing which comes upon the people of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who was cursed for us, that we might be blessed in him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, bless to us thy words, so that we may be fortified and persevere in wrestling with thee in prayer, and so obtain the promised blessing in Jesus Christ. Strengthen us then, we ask, in him. Amen.